How's it going? I certainly hope you've had an awesome sporting week. It's that time of the week again. Thanks for joining us. This is Talking Point. Welcome to it. My name's Trevor Kramer. We're on the downhill slide towards the festive season, wrapping up what has been a pretty eventful 2023 sporting year, but no rest for some. The sporting calendar still has quite a few events to clear before this one's over. Joining me in the Talking Point studio this week, a regular on Talking Point, the leader of our pack, as we call him, the head of citizen sport. Welcome back, Jacques van der Westhuizen. Nice to have you on board again.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Trevor. Hello, everybody.
We've become accustomed to rugby being played here on the southern tip of Africa now in high summer since joining the United Rugby Championship. So that's ongoing in the 2023 South African Open Golf Championship, one of the oldest national open championships in the game. That teed off at the tough Blair Athol layout just north of Johannesburg this week. So we'll chat on that one as well this week. Straight into the action. Match week 7 of the United Rugby Championship. Our South African franchise is left with quite a bit of work to do to stay in the hunt for the playoff places and a shot at the Champions Cup rugby next season. Well, the South African teams didn't travel particularly well, but all back on home turf again. But probably of more significance over the past few weeks, Jacques, is the void that was left without being able to pick their Springbok World Cup winners in the first cycle of matches. Not affecting the Lions too badly, but with all the box back now, do you see this as being a totally different competition for our sides?
Absolutely. You know, and it's not only the box that are coming back that are going to strengthen the South African teams, but the fact that, you know, all of these, the four franchises are now going to at least have a string of home games after, like you say, a difficult couple of weeks abroad. They really struggled overseas in those wet and cold conditions that they're really not used to. So, you know, it's a bonus on two fronts, being able to play at home in good weather conditions, warm weather conditions, hopefully no rain, and then with those Springboks coming back into the mix. So definitely, you know, those four South African teams are definitely going to be strengthened. And as we saw with those matches last weekend already, the overseas teams are struggling here and will continue to possibly struggle here as the South African teams struggle in Europe. So, opportunity now for the South Africans to catch up, so to speak.
The coach is also pretty much in a situation. You've got a group of players who are now coming back into the system, but they haven't played active rugby for, what's it, close to 4 weeks, three odd weeks since the World Cup. So it's also a difficult situation. Do you play these players for the full duration of a match, or do you just phase them back in?
Yeah, Jod Dobson spoke about it in the week already. While he's going to pick all his four Springboks, World Cup winners, in the team for this weekend, he stated it, you know, from the off already, that there's no ways that they can go from nowhere, you know, from 0 to 80, as he put it. So he'll either start them and play them a half or maybe 50, 60 minutes and then take them off, or a number of them will play off the bench just to get back into the swing of things. Because let's be honest, I think, you know, after the World Cup, I think these Springboks partied quite hard. They had a week of, you know, celebrating around the country with the fans. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of partying going on, and I'm sure the party carried on well after the bus tour finished. So they've had some good time off in that, maybe not as sharp and as fit as they possibly could be or would like to be. But you know what? That's also okay. I'm sure it won't take them too long to get back into, you know, full fitness and into the swing of things. So this weekend will definitely be a case of, you know, just sort of testing the waters a bit with them. Some of the guys already returned to action last week. And in the case of the Sharks, a guy like Lukanya really looked good. And a couple of other guys really, you know, contributed significantly to some of those performances.
Big derby this week at Loftus, the Bulls versus the Sharks. Two teams, both of big wins last weekend. The Sharks made an awful start, to say the least, to their campaign. 5 straight defeats. The Bulls just 5 points behind leaders Glasgow Warriors and 4 adrift of Leinster. Both sides able to rope in their Bok players, as we've just alluded to. The Bulls without both their co-captains, though, might be a slight concern. How do you see that one going?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, as you say. I mean, you know, Jake appointed these co-captains at the beginning of the season, Ruan Norkia and Marcel Kutsia, and as things have turned out, neither of them are available this week. So he's going to have to find a new leader. I suspect it's going to be Nizam Carr, you know, which is fine. He's done the job before. Those two players who will be missing is obviously a big blow to the Bulls. There's no doubt about that. Besides their leadership, they're really quality players. So the Bulls have suffered a bit of a setback there, but they're going to welcome back those other, you know, World Cup players. They've got them in the mix. They're going to be at home. They're on a run of good performances. And I think with the World Cup now done and all the fans turning their attention back to the URC, there's likely to be a big crowd there, especially because it's a local derby. And the Sharks, having won last weekend, finally, you know, they're going to be full of confidence. They're going to have all their Bok players back as well. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a cracker of a game.
Stormers are back home from what was, by all accounts, a very poor URC tour. But with a formidable home record in the past two seasons, the young Lions side, they seem to be nicely settled back home in conditions that they're probably best accustomed to, a pretty young side. The Lions welcome the Dragons, the Stormers host Zebre. Seemingly good opportunities here to make some headway this week again, Jacques.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, the Lions really played well last week, like I said earlier. They just love playing at home. They love the half felt. They love the hot weather. And they can throw the ball around and play the type of rugby they've become accustomed for, you know. So I think, you know, they'll be full of confidence all of a sudden again, and I can't see why they shouldn't win again this weekend. They really, you know, when they get it right, they look really good. So the Lions should bank another win there. Stormers are in Stellenbosch this weekend, and with guys like Marnie Libbok, Damien Willems, Frans Malherbe, Dion Fury, all back in the mix. I'm sure they're going to get things, you know, turned around. And just the presence of those guys will lift the players around them as well. It's not just those specific players, but I think the whole group as a collective will, you know, raise their spirits and the confidence levels will be up. And those four players are big players. They really are big players. And, yeah, I think the Stormers will quickly turn things around and get back to winning.
Before we put a lid on our rugby discussion this week, a good deal of the World Cup winning Springboks, bar those that are injured, of course, have already taken the field for their overseas franchises. But the biggest focus of attention seems to have been on Bok captain Siya Kolisi's debut for Racing 92 in France, or do I call it Racing 92. They beat La Rochelle 32-10 to nip past Pau and hit the top of the National League in France last weekend. Judging by the hype and the focus on Kolisi, Jacques, he holds iconic status even in France at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got a fantastic ambassador there. We've got a great leader, a great rugby player. And, you know, a two-time World Cup winning captain, he is up there with the very best that have ever played the game. So it's no surprise that, you know, wherever he goes, he's going to draw crowds, he's going to draw cheers. And, you know, such is his personality that he gets, you know, those around him really pumped up and excited, whether that be the players or the fans. You know, we saw video clips after that match in France last weekend where, you know, he was dancing and cheering with the fans and that. And I think he's just a really likable guy. He's really crept into the hearts of all sports people around the world. And yeah, long may it continue. He's a fantastic person. Good luck to him and well done. I mean, that was a fantastic first up performance.
Let's leave rugby on the back burner for now. Head to the tee box. Golf on the menu. The 120th edition of the South African Open, one of the oldest national open championships in the world, got underway on Thursday at the Gary Player-designed Blair Athol layout just north of Johannesburg. Part of a busy four-week summer swing on the Sunshine Tour, co-sanctioned by the DP World Tour, featuring the Nedbank Challenge, the Joburg Open, the SA Open, and next week's Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek. Now, before we get to the contenders, Jacques, let's talk briefly about the course. A lot being said through the week. Blair Athol, it can be a brutally long day out there. You mentioned in an article of yours that, and I quote, "The man that wins this week's SA Open will be super fit and strong, and he'll have been the most accurate off the tee. Just tell us very briefly what you know about Blair Athol. A lot of talk during the week.
Yeah, I've been to Blair Athol before. I was there last year for the SA Open, and that it is an extremely long and demanding course. Lots of ups, lots of downs, a lot of walking. It is officially the longest course on the DP World Tour. And there are lots of elevations, so it's a tough day out for the players. You know, it's and in this heat that we're experiencing at the moment, it's going to be a tough day there for those guys for the 4 or 5 hours that they spend on the course. Fortunately, the heat wave seems to have subsided for now, but I think it's coming back over Saturday and Sunday. But we'll see about that. So it's a long day out for the players. It is a demanding course, and you know, as far as I understand, they've really made the fairway slightly more narrow, and they've grown the rough a lot more than they did last year. So, you know, they want to penalize guys that are going long and hitting, you know, a bit wayward. So accuracy of the tee is going to be crucial. Keeping it in the fairways is going to be key. And if you do that, then you can score well, as it is, you know, on any golf course. Keep it on the short stuff, and you're going to have a chance to get into the greens, even on the par fives. And there are 5 of them, and they're all very long. But if you keep it in the fairways, you should be good. So accuracy is going to be key.
Defending champion Thurston Lawrence, he's got quite a bit to prove this week. He imploded in the final round of the Joburg Open last week at Houghton. Different week, different golf course, but do you feel that catastrophic final round at Houghton will be playing heavily on his mind this week? He is the defending champion.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. You know, some guys sort of, implode like he did, which was so sad to see. And then they just somehow lose something in the game, and it could take them a while to get it back again. It happens with all golfers. Something went wrong, obviously, and it cost him badly last week. Whether he's been able to rectify that and change it and is back on his game, we'll have to wait and see. But he obviously he played well last year at Blair Athol. He won the tournament, and he's in fine form. I mean, he's a good player. He really is. He's so solid and consistent, and that's what was so surprising about his performance in the final round at Houghton last week. But yeah, he'll be a guy to watch again, but there's so many good players in the field at Blair Athol this week. I mean, I can go through, you know, a ton of names and mention, you know, players who could potentially, you know, get to the top of that leaderboard and win. Just one of them is Christo Lamprecht, the tall young amateur who led the first round at the Open last year, who plays out of America. He hits the ball a long way, and he'll obviously be very determined to show what he can do on South African soil. He's really made a name for himself in the amateur ranks, and he's a guy to watch. But there's so many others. I mean, we've got some of our best golfers that have ever played in this country in the last 20 years teeing it up this week.
Always hoping that a South African name's engraved on that stunning silver trophy on Sunday evening. We've talked about Christian Bezuidenhout. He showed glimpses of old form, a tie for 9th last week at Houghton. Joburg Open champion Dean Burmester, and surely we can't write off Lawrence, as we're just saying. Any other potential local men to watch this week, Jacques, and maybe even contenders that have just caught your eye from abroad, the European Tour contenders?
Yeah, well, Dan Bradbury, I mean, who won the Joburg Open last year and finished 3rd at Joburg last weekend, I mean, he's a guy to watch. He's obviously in good form again. He's comfortable in South Africa. He says he really loves the weather. He loves everything about the country, so he feels very comfortable. So he's a guy to watch. You know, and then I think the local guys obviously know the conditions best. Young Casey Jarvis, who just recently got his DP World Tour card for the new season. I see he started well. He's a guy that you can keep an eye on. Michelle Schwatzel lived at Blair Athol at a stage. He had a home there. So he obviously knows the course quite well. He'll be hoping for some good form. A guy like Brandon Stone, who won the ESSA Open in 2016 at Glendower, he's just recently, you know, regained his DP World Tour card after struggling for a number of years, and he'll be hopeful of playing well again and regaining his best form. So there's so many guys, and amongst the Europeans who've come out here, it's just too difficult to say, but so many guys really enjoy South African conditions, enjoy the weather. So it's really, it's anyone's tournament to go and win.
There's the affiliation to the DP Tour, of course, the DP Tour, very, very strong European Tour as it was known previously. But as you say, there's an attraction point here, particularly with the summer swing. And we were chatting to Michael Flismas a little while back about the Sunshine Tour and the affiliation to the DP Tour. It's just, it seems to be growing and it seems to be attracting more and more talent.
Absolutely. You know, like Michael Vlismer spoke last week about the pathway that golfers in South Africa can follow, you know, from junior golf to SA golf, you know, amateur and then semi-pro and then pro in that. And the opportunities are there for aspiring golfers to really shine, and there's so many opportunities for them to, you know, showcase their skills and to play and to learn and get better. You know, and then when you go outside of South Africa, the challenge tours, which are just under the main tours, you know, where guys can go and learn and gain experience. Like a guy like Brandon Stone, for example, who lost his tour card, he went and played in Asia. Number of guys go and play in Asia regularly, and there's still lots of money to be made there, even though you're not on one of the main tours. So, yeah, it's a lovely time of the year in South Africa. Hot, it's summer. There's a bit of rain around generally, but so far so good. None of the tournaments have been too affected by the rain, and the conditions are great. The fans come out and support the guys, and, you know, what better – you know, opportunity for these guys to come from Europe, where it's now their winter, and come and spend a month or so in South Africa.
We're out of time, so that's where we'll leave it. But before we wrap it, let's go through one of our regular orders of business. It's the time in the show where we reward excellence and hammer mediocrity. It's our Gold Star and Flop of the Week feature. My Gold Star of the Week this week, it goes to, well, over the years covering golf, when I was a radio sports journo, you get to know the players. And you watch them very carefully over the years. My Gold Star this week, it goes to one of the hardest working professionals I know anyway, Bloemfontein boy, Dean Burmester. Winner of the Joburg Open at Houghton last week, also plying his trade on the LIV golf circuit, of course. And my flop of the week, well, yes, it's a tough game. It calls for consistency over 72 holes. But sadly, my flop of the week goes to another South African golfer. We've spoken about him at length, Thriston Lawrence.
Ooh, you suck!
Major implosion in the final round of the Joburg Open last week. Hole to hole. Three, two, one. A major implosion in the final round of the Joburg Open last week after holding a commanding lead heading into the final round. Jacques, how are you looking this week?
Trevor, I can't disagree with you. I agree with those sentiments. I'm very happy for Dean, and it was unfortunate that Thriston Lawrence imploded like he did. My Gold Star this week really goes to Siya Kolisi. Once again, you know, he's left South Africa behind. He's gone over to Europe. He's gone over to a foreign country where everything is different. And he's embraced the culture. He's eating frog legs. He's doing all sorts of things and snails, and he's recording these things, and he's embracing the culture in France. And he is really such a great ambassador for our country. And, yeah, my Gold Star goes to Kolisi. He is somebody that I think we will miss when he's not there one day, when he hangs up those boots. But for now, he is really a superstar. Unfortunately, my flop of the week goes to the Stormers. You know, two-time finalists in the URC. They won it once. They were runners-up last season, but they've really started so poorly. And it's disappointing that, you know, they're going to have to play catch-up now, and that they've really struggled without some key players there. It just shows how important experienced, hardened international players are to a team. They're going to have to find a way to learn to win and perform well, even when they don't have those big-name players in their ranks.
That's where we wrap it. You have yourself a great sporting week with The Citizen as your companion, both online and in print. Jacques van der Westhuizen, as always, the head of Citizen Sport, thanks for joining us, sharing your views with us. Always great to chat to you, a real pleasure. My name's Trevor Kramer. This has been Talking Point. You'll find us on citizen.co.za. Click on the multimedia subsection podcasts. Or why not follow Citizen News? You can follow the audio version on Iono FM. You'll also find the Talking Point video podcast on the Citizen's YouTube account. Go check it out and subscribe. Have an awesome sporting week. From me, all the best. Cheers.